3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Burled Arch Podcast. I'm your co-host, Robert Forto. Tonight, we're talking all about the Iditarod Banquet, what's new on the Iditarod Insider at Mushing, the Smiles for Miles program, and a new feature on our show, From the Rulebook. Let's kick it off.
Nobody covers dog sledding like Mushing from First Paw Media. Our team of athletes, volunteers, race organizers, and mushers like Robert and Michelle Forto brings you closer to this sport. If it's happening, we are there. Live from the qualifying races in January and February, the Iditarod in March, and in the summer, Mushing takes you on the road with our team and trail tour. We connect you with a history of this sport, in-depth interviews with a top mushers, and great storytelling and breaking news all year long. Follow on mushing.com.
We are calling all fans of the Iditarod. For a limited time only, you can receive a sticker from Mushing as a thank you gift when you donate online. Visit mushing.com/donate to support us today and keep your independent Mushing media thriving.
So guys, we are back. It is Thursday before the start of Iditarod. It is the banquet night in downtown Anchorage. It is always a big time event, and we're going to kick it off with that. Michelle, what is the Iditarod banquet?
The Iditarod Musher Banquet is the official kickoff event for the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race, held in Anchorage on the Thursday before the race starts. It is a gala event where fans, sponsors, and mushers gather for a meal, live silent auctions, and the critical bib drawing, where mushers determine their starting order from a traditional muckluck. The Iditarod Mushers Banquet is one of the most iconic nights of the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race. Held in Anchorage just days before the start, this unforgettable evening brings together fans, mushers, and Iditarod legends to officially launch the last great race on Earth. This is where anticipation turns electric. The room is full of stories, history, laughter, and the shared excitement of what's about to unfold on the trail. If you want to truly feel the start of the race, this is the night that sets it all in motion. The doors to the banquet will open at 5:30, and this unforgettable evening will commence at 6 p.m. Then we will be discussing the musher meet and greet. During the mushers meet and greet, you get to meet the athletes of the trail face to face, from the first time rookies to legendary champions. This is your chance to shake hands, hear stories, and connect with the mushers before they head north. Last year, they had it downstairs, and each musher had a table with their name on it. It was sort of like speed dating, each person getting a couple of minutes to chat. And as you can imagine, the lines were very long for the most well-known mushers. Then we head upstairs for the bib drawing. One of the most anticipated moments of the night. Mushers draw their bib numbers from a traditional fur boot, officially determining the starting order. The honorary musher will receive bib number 1. This year, that is Mary Shields, the first woman to compete in the Iditarod. She passed away in July of 2025, and the evening will include a special tribute to the 2026 honorary musher. Live and silent auctions will be going on all evening. You get to bid on unique items and experiences while directly supporting the Iditarod. The auctions help fuel the race and preserve its legacy. Last year, bidding wars erupted quickly with some very high dollar amounts spent. I remember one item was fly-in lodge vacation that sold for thousands of dollars, and it boasted a very unique experience. They will also be discussing pre-race show and special guests. You get to enjoy entertainment, storytelling, and special appearances from Iditarod legends as the excitement builds for the 2026 teams to make their way onto the trail. And of course, the banquet wouldn't be complete without some pretty special dinner and drinks. Celebrate with a full evening of food and beverages alongside fellow fans, supporters, and members of the Iditarod community. Last year, they had tables of about 10 people, and it was packed.
So, Michelle, I know you've been to the banquet once or twice. I've been a few more times than you. I remember my first time up for all the Iditarod festivities way back in 2010. It was at the Denina Center, the same spot it is at right now. I think then the tickets were about $50. This year, I think they're well over $100. And I tell you what, that meet and greet's something else, isn't it?
You know, Robert, last year was actually my first year attending the Mushers Banquet and the Mushers Meet and Greet. And I got to tell you, I was there not just as a fan, also a musher that shares the trails with a lot of these other mushers, but we were there for the first time, or at least my first time, as a journalist, and I got our media, and I got to tell you, I found it to be quite the experience, even for myself. Your head is spinning at all of the things that are going on. Of course, you want to make way for the fans. They are very important to the mushers and to the, you know, to keeping this race alive. It can't happen without fans.
So we go to a lot of events, sporting events, concerts, and the like, and this is a little bit different. Of course, these mushers and human athletes are rock stars to a lot of the fans. Set the scene for that. We follow a lot of these guys on Facebook. We see how they interact with their fans. We see them up close and personal in their daily lives at the grocery store. We stop and chat with a lot of these guys who we know personally. But for some people that are coming up to Alaska, this is a bucket list experience. And this is really the first time that a lot of these guys can see their mushing heroes, if you will, in person. What is that like?
You know, I'm glad that you brought that up, Robert, because as I mentioned, a lot of the mushers, I was there to interview in a media capacity, and I do know them from being a part of the community, and we do see them in the grocery store and things, and I remember several times last year, I stepped out of the way so that I wasn't taking up a moment for a fan to have with their favorite musher. And, you know, I gotta say, I wish that the meet and greet could be a little bit longer. And honestly, I wish that there was a separate time set aside for media to do a little bit of question Q&As, if you will, with the mushers, that is separate from the mushers meet and greet. I think that Iditarod fails both mushers, sponsors, and the media by not having a separate time set aside for us to do that, that is different from when the fans get to meet the mushers.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought that up. That's going to be a topic in one of the episodes this year about media access in the mushing community. I think that's a very important topic, and I look forward to having that discussion as well. Anything else on the banquet that you want to add?
It's typical banquet food. Don't go thinking that you're going to get some kind of specialized Alaskan flair. It's well done, but it's typical. If you've been to any kind of conference or event, you'll recognize the setup. You know, the servers come out, they bring you the first course, they come out pretty quickly, they bring you the second course, so on and so on and so on. While you're being entertained by the video that Iditarod Insider puts together, which is always entertaining, and then you've got your MC of the evening. I think last year it was Martin Boozer, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
Yeah, and Martin did a good job. He represented well.
Yeah. And boy, the auctioneer, he really got the crowd going, as we talked about. Lots of money changing hands right there on some of those very cool Alaskan trips for sure. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about what is new, not only for us, but also on the Iditarod Insider. If you're not a Iditarod Insider, this is by far the best way to follow the race. And they came out with a couple little tweaks to their system. They're always innovating. I know Rob Urbach said yesterday at the media briefing that there are a few things that he's always tinkering with. We mentioned them last night with the five cameras, and you can switch and go back and forth. But some of the key upgrades, as I mentioned, are these multi-camera streamings in real-time events, whether it's at the checkpoints, at the restart, at the ceremonial, at the finish, all sorts of things going on. And the advent of satellite internet, in particular Starlink, has really helped that along for sure. Expanded GPS tracking, now showing snow machines and camera crews, so you can follow where the insiders are, which is pretty cool. They'll have their own trackers. Custom musher notifications and live fan chat. That's pretty cool. Automatic recording of all live stream events. That's new. SMS alerts. That is right. Alerts right to your phone. I think in years past, you could pick five mushers or something like that and have alerts popping up and dinging at all hours of the evening. You know, here's Jesse Holmes pulling into Ruby at 2 o'clock in the morning. There's Jesse Royer pulling into Unicleat at 4 o'clock in the morning, so on and so forth. And of course, subscribers will get access to all pre-race interviews, nightly recaps. I wonder if they took a notion from us on that, and full trail coverage from the Mushers Drawing Banquet, which is tonight, all the way to the finish in Nome and the Finishers Banquet. I'm not sure if they've raised the prices for 2026, but it starts at about $20 for a year, which gives you the documentary streaming and all of that, all the way up to $60 or so for the Insider Ultimate Package. And that gets you everything, including the GPS tracking, the little blips on the screen that everybody is obsessed with over the next couple of weeks. It is a hoot. And Michelle, I know you've been an Iditarod Insider for the last few years. We did this show for a decade or more without being Iditarod, quote unquote, insiders. What do you think about their service? Do you enjoy it?
I think it is a unique opportunity that ITC puts together for the fans. I think this, what you just described, I think is the best offering that they've had so far to date for the fans. Now, I know that we weren't having an Iditarod Insider package. That's because your former co-host, Alex Stein, had one, and it didn't seem like it was necessary for you both to have one. I know that your co-host Tony Ryder has been an ITC insider, but even before they offered all of the video streaming and real-time announcements, and including the live chat. So, you know, she's a lifelong Iditarod fan and volunteer. And so I think that the offerings are getting better and better each year. I'm happy to see that. I don't think the price is out of bounds honestly, for what they're offering you now for the access, including, you didn't mention, they are offering now a 48-hour pass that's only $15. So if you want that 48-hour pass, I would say you can definitely follow along for free with the trackers without the insider. All the way up until the last couple of days, you could probably pinpoint, okay, I see when the finisher is on the coast, that's when I'm going to purchase my 48-hour pass. So they've actually, in my opinion, made it more accessible to more people.
Yeah, I'm excited for following the race on the Insider. I don't get too involved with the chat. I know it is a 24-hour deal. People are talking at all hours of the evening, people all over the world. So it's a very cool way to follow the race. And I know Rob Urbach said yesterday at the briefing, this is different than most other endurance sports. He comes from the triathlon background, like Ironman, that sort of thing. He talked about the Tour de France over in Europe, and how they don't follow like the Iditarod does. They do nightly recaps and that sort of thing. So it's a definite different type of coverage. So I guess
Hold on a second. Well, you know what? The only thing I got to add is I do find it interesting that they are doing a nightly recap now, and it's going to be interesting to see if it follows our flow whatsoever. And I don't know if I'm honored or if I'm a little bit concerned. I don't want our podcast and the way that we have provided nightly recaps for more than a decade, I don't want us to become obsolete.
We will not become obsolete. I welcome competition. Bring it. I enjoy the banter and the different points of view. So that brings us to our next thing. So what is new for us? We talked about the Insider, you having to pay for it. Well, our coverage is free, but of course we hope you become a member, not a subscriber. We are switching gears a little bit. You are now a member of Mushing. So stay tuned on Sunday for a very special offer if you are not a member yet. While we're not part of Iditarod, we are official members of the media. So what do you get from us? You get nightly podcasts all the way through the banquet. We are one of the few media outlets that stays after other people have packed up and gone home. You get bonus episodes. You get in-depth coverage. You get companion articles on mushing.com. I just dropped an article today on 18 facts about the Iditarod, which is a pretty cool little article that I whipped up sitting here in the car waiting to record this podcast. Of course, you get our quote-unquote expertise. We've been doing this for 16 years as a podcast. We are the longest running show in the world in this format. Last year, we were listened to in well over 100 countries. We have a bunch of new features this year, including Q&As, moments in mushing history. I'm really excited about that. From the Rule Book is another feature, mushing insights, giveaways, and more. And be sure to stay tuned for that special offering that we're gonna drop on Sunday night, right after the restart. So, Michelle, I know you're going to talk about the Smiles for Miles program.
I am, Robert. You know, I would like to just say this might be the first of its kind for Iditarod, where we've got a musher launching something that is akin to what happened during the Serum Run. Am I mistaken here?
Yep, we're going to talk about that in just a second.
Okay, so the Iditarod Trail Committee has launched Idita Health, Smiles for Miles, a new pediatric dental wellness initiative that will bring preventative dental care, oral health education, and hygiene supplies to elementary school children in rural Iditarod checkpoint communities. Beginning alongside the 2026 Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race, the long-term program is being developed in partnership with Iditarod volunteers local community leaders, and tribal health partners with major support from expedition class musher and Norwegian philanthropist. And I'm going to butcher his name, so I hope that he forgives me, but I believe it's Kyle Roki. The initiative will spend 2026 preparing for fall dental clinics in trail communities where children will receive screenings, cavity preventing sealants, oral health education, and hygiene kits. Led by Program Director Dr. Jody Guest, the effort also supports Alaska's Healthy Alaskans 2030 goals by expanding access to preventative dental care in rural areas where dental decay remains one of the most common but preventable childhood health challenges.
For sure. And we're going to talk more about this in a future episode, but this does remind me of projects that they used to do on the Serum Run expeditions, where they gave focus groups each time on things like suicide prevention, vaccine programs for village dogs, and the like. And it also reminds me of what the Ugly Dogs group has done over the last few years with a program they call I Give a Rod. One year they donated thousands of dollars for programs to villages along the trails. And they were doing all sorts of things for schools and construction projects and all of that. So yes, it's all about the dogs, as they say, but there is a heck of a lot of good going on besides the race. Let's jump into one of our brand new features, and it is called From the Rulebook. Did you know Rule 36, which is the competitiveness rule, is, as I quote, a team may be withdrawn that is out of competition and cannot make a valid effort to compete. The race marshal, who is Dan Carter this year, may consider, but is not limited to, weather, trail conditions, and the overall pace of the race when invoking this rule. A musher whose conduct constitutes an unreasonable risk of harm to him or her, dogs, or other persons may also be withdrawn. As you guys know, as longtime followers of the race, this was a hot topic last year. Several teams were withdrawn or having told you ought to scratch here because of this rule. So what do you guys think? Will this happen this year? Will teams get cut from the trail? Let us know on the comments and on socials. Michelle, what do you think about this rule? I know it's one of those hot topic issues, isn't it, every year?
I think this is the most controversial rule, if I'm honest. But I'm interested, and I know we're going to be brushing on the subject in later shows, but I'm really interested to know about what rules the ITC came up with for the expedition class.
Yeah, and they were a little bit close-lipped about that yesterday at the mushers, the media briefing meeting. I'm looking to see what they have come up with that. I know that Rob Urbach did say that neither of the expedition mushers are competing for prize money. They're not going to get the coveted belt buckle that is given out to all of the Iditarod finishers. They do have to give way, obviously, to the competitors, to the racers. Of course, they have outside support. We talked about the crew for each team last year, including Thomas Werner, who's going to be on a dog team with the Norwegian musher, and Jeff King and a couple of others are going to be on snow machines with the late entry expedition musher, Steve Curtis, I believe is his name, who is a Canadian explorer. He's done Everest and all sorts of things. So he is not shy from adventure. So it's going to be interesting to see how these guys work out. And it's going to be even more interesting where they sit in the pack. I know last year when we had Roan Booser on as our guest co-host, he was talking about a crew that was using some of his dogs, I believe, and they were out there doing their thing, but they were going pretty slow. They were several days behind the pack of mushers for sure. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. What's up next?
Well, you know, I got to add a little bit here. I'm curious, you know, the expedition class is really kind of a test run this year, but I'm wondering how closely they are matching what was being done on the Serum Run expeditions, where you guys had the snow machine support, you had the dog team, so on and so forth. And that has been ran by several mushers, but also several groups, several clubs, if you will. And I think that we might need to dive into that aspect and see what we get from our fans about this new expedition class. Do you think it's going to become just that, what I'm calling it, an expedition class, where it's ran alongside the competitors? And do you think that those people deserve a finishing belt buckle or some type of item to commemorate that they completed the trail? I don't know what the other Iditarod trail runners get when they complete the trail. So I'm curious to dive a little deeper into this topic, Robert.
Yeah. Again, Rob Urbach did say, hey, this is just a test run for us. We haven't made any long-term decisions. We're going to see how it works out. Of course, both of these gentlemen put up considerable financial interest to be able to do that. I don't think that the average adventurer can afford something like that. I know our Norwegian expedition musher put up hundreds of thousands of dollars to be able to do that. I don't think it's going to be something like that. It would be interesting to see if they do it something more like the Serum Run trips have gone in the past. We've talked about it on this show for years about having a expeditionary class very similar to how Iron Dog does it. I know they have a class like that. I'm not sure exactly what it's called. So it'll be interesting to see how it works out. And who knows? I might be on the trail one of these times class to be able to do that.
Well, you might have your wife as your snow machine support, because if they opened up an expedition class, this might pull my interest in.
Yeah, because I am not interested.
You didn't know that, Robert. Way to brush right over that. You didn't. You didn't know that this was seriously interesting me.
Yeah, I'm not too interested in racing. I know we moved up here to Alaska to chase that crazy Iditarod dream. It's still there, tickling in the back room, as they say, but. Man, if they opened it up for something like that, it would definitely pique my interest. We just can't afford the hundreds of thousands of dollars as some of these guys have paid. And I'm sure everybody is nodding their head who is thinking about doing something like that.
I think that it's a novel situation right now. And, you know, somebody's always got to go first. And sometimes the first people are the ones that pay and pave the way for others. But I think that our fans and our listeners need to recognize that Team and Trail Foundation is going to be doing some big things. And this might be a way for Team and Trail Foundation to make its mark. But let's just talk about what's coming up next for tomorrow's show, shall we?
Let's do it.
Tomorrow, we are going to bring you our predictions. We will also be side by side together in our home studio. Unlike what is going on this evening, we are in two different locations remote tonight. So our predictions always include our top five and the rookie of the year. And we don't believe in jinxes, so we are going to shoot it straight, as Robert likes to say. If you have questions, be sure to leave us a text or voicemail by calling our hotline at 303-578-9881. Again, that phone number is 303-578-9881. That is also where you can leave us voice memos. And I do encourage you guys to do that. Let us know how you're doing. Let us know what you think of the format. We love to hear from you guys. And you can always send us an email to podcast@mushing.com. Until next time, see you on the trail.
All right, guys. It is my pleasure to be back here on the Burled Arch Podcast, sponsored by Mushing and the Team and Trail Foundation. See you guys next time. Goodbye.
Are you a fan of the great outdoors? Do you enjoy the thrill of speed and adventure? Then listen up. Introducing Mushing, your ultimate guide to the exciting world of dog-powered sports and mushing. Whether you're a seasoned musher or just starting out, Mushing has got you covered. Get ready to immerse yourself in captivating stories of incredible sled dog races, expert training tips from seasoned professionals, and gear reviews to help you make the right choices for your team. From the breathtaking landscapes of Alaska to the snowy trails of Scandinavia, Mushing takes you on a thrilling journey through the world of dog-powered sports. Don't miss out on the latest issue, packed with exclusive interviews with top mushers, in-depth articles on sled dog nutrition, and stunning photography that will transport you to the heart of the action. So whether you're dreaming of competing in the Iditarod or simply want to learn more about this incredible sport, Mushing is your go-to resource. Subscribe now and get ready to unleash your passion for mushing. Visit our website at mushing.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. Mushing, where the spirit of adventure meets the power of the pack.